Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, yes, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. In the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, yes, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me. One more time. Hallelujah, I'm free, free, I'm free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Be seated. It is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord tonight. No place I'd rather be. I have moved everything outside today for this moment. I'm so glad about this. This is my bread and butter. I live my life lily pad to lily pad. And this is the only time I get to draw from that well. And there's food in the storehouse in this place, you know? And I'm glad to be here.
I got something to say. We have a second since I got close enough to the mic. It is good to be here.
Yes.
You know, I was listening to the service, and, you know, I had to be worked up. We're not bringing in leftovers.
Right.
No. We're not going to mic something up. No. We come in, you're not working something up. It's not a feeling.
No.
I was thinking. I wrote some things down.
And amen.
I was excited about it.
Yes.
You know, I was reading the scriptures that Brother Moore had said, because he threw a lot out towards the end. Kind of like a shotgun shot.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pick some of them up, and they were really good. Amen. But there was one that I really liked. Well, there's actually two.
Yes.
One's kind of a cheat code, but okay. The one, I call this one the living word. It was on April 21st, 24 at 1 hour, 24 minutes, and 38 seconds into the service. So non-believers out there, the ones that don't believe it. He says, you can have the joy. God has done all the work,
yeah.
It's yours to claim.
Yes.
It's
yes.
yours to claim.
Yes.
That means that there's nothing that you have to produce.
Right.
There's nothing that you have to do.
No.
He didn't say restore my salvation.
No.
He didn't say restore the gifts.
No.
He said just give me the joy.
That's it.
Just give me my joy back.
Amen.
Let me throw off this mortal coil.
Yes.
Let
yes.
me step out of the way.
Amen.
Let me take the benefit. Oh. You know, Brother Jay was talking about, you know, defeating the devil. You know what? I enjoyed it because Brother Isaiah came to my house today. Didn't even know he was coming. And he came and he talked, and he talked about some stuff that needed to be done around the house. But I was like, that stuff can stay.
Yeah.
But hey, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? We're having a doubleheader tonight.
That's exactly right.
Who else is excited about a doubleheader? You know, you talk about those like those WWE, like, are you ready to rumble?
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
You know, you come in, you lift yourself up.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be
stiff.
God's been too good.
Oh, yes.
He woke up. I got to have breakfast.
Right.
God gave me, first of all, a job to where I could pay for breakfast. Right. Let's talk about the natural. If that's what make you excited. So he gave me the ability to pay for breakfast.
Amen.
I got to take my beautiful wife out to breakfast. We got to eat food, which was tasty. Got to meet this wonderful lady who was so nice. She was like, can I do anything else for you? Can I do anything else? Oh, no, you've done enough. You gave me more than a glass of water. You gave me a pretty tasty omelet. But I was thinking, I was like, you know, I was like, Lord, thank you for the food as I was praying. But you're like, you know what? Thank you for revelation. Thank you that I can understand, you know what, who I am. I'm not tossed, I'm not torn, I'm not confused. Right. You start wondering what I start taking joy and making it with a revelation.
Amen.
Restore the revelation.
Yes.
It's not a sensation. It's not an emotion. No. You don't feel it. Yes, you may get worked up through it because you start getting excited.
Just
about
an understanding.
It. You start, okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I see it. Because all it is a testimony. Because he says, you know what? You're one of them.
Yeah.
And then you get up, I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
That's right.
He said, I'm one of them, and I can take my loved ones.
Yeah.
I'm one of them, and take my loved ones, and all things work together.
Yes.
You know, you start building up to that. But that's what the joy is.
Oh, my goodness.
And the condemnation he puts on you, it's like, well, you know, it makes me feel bad. But you know what? God said, by his stripes.
Yes, sir.
That's why I'm going to get into the scripture. The scripture is, I love this scripture.
Because
Brother Ed Moore had talked about John 15, and he had referenced 10. But I got down to 15. And it excited me because he said, henceforth, I call you not servants.
Right.
Not a servant.
No.
Not a servant. But why? Why not a servant? I mean, we serve God, right?
Right.
Yeah. Servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth.
That's right.
They don't know what the plan is.
No, they don't.
Oh, my.
Oh, but we go a step further.
Yeah.
You go a step further. He says, but I have called you friends.
Amen.
Friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
Amen.
All things. Not some things.
All things.
Not a
all
few things.
Right.
Not the select.
Come on.
All things.
All.
Past, present, and future.
That's right.
All things have been made known to me.
Yes.
He have not chosen me. He have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. But, and ordained you. And ordained you.
Oh, my.
That you should go and bring forth fruit. And what fruit is that? What fruit is that? It's the fruit of the hour.
That's it.
By a testimony.
Yeah.
You get up, and ye should bring forth fruit that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall also of the Father in my name, may he give you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, it's an exciting. I don't want to take long because we got people building up.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing, I want to come in, and I don't want it to be to where it's like, all right, you got to warm them up.
No.
I want to come in. I told Brother Isaiah, we kind of cheated.
There's an expectation.
We pre-gamed a little bit.
We
fellowshiped a little bit before, so we had a little we already knew what was going to happen. But I'm excited because it's one of those things where you can say, you know what, I believe it before it even said.
That's exactly right.
Amen is nothing but the truth.
Amen.
And that's all I got to say.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
That's what it should be, though. I just got to praise God and to give a praise report because I've got a prayer cloth like 2 years ago, I think it was, for my brother-in-law who's been fighting cancer for a couple of years, and he's been through all the chemo and everything. Well, he got to ring his little bell Friday. I'm so happy about that. It's a good, but we expect it, you know, and I'd speak it, you know, and I speak that he has to go back every 3 months,
Lord.
And I say, he's not going to have cancer anymore, you know, because it's already conquered. And I'm so happy to have this word. And Sunday, Pastor Moore told us to, you know, put a verse on the refrigerator and read it every day, and then just over and over again, and then let it sink in, and let that help with the joy and setting the atmosphere right and everything. Well, I followed his instruction. I did that. I had babysit Monday, so I didn't get to, but I started Tuesday and today. And I go back to it, and I read it over and over again, and it helps. You know, every time I read it, it puts a smile on my face and joy in my heart, you know. But the main thing is joy in my soul, I know. And it's not feelings and that type of thing.
Right.
But I'm just so happy to know this word and to be one of them. And as Seth says, you know, we've got it made here.
Amen.
We're so thankful and so blessed.
Amen. Let me get these announcements out of the way real quick. Men's Fellowship, May 4th, 10 a.m. in the back of the church. We got True Word Tabernacle in Bluffton, May 5th. And then the church leaves at 9 a.m. Then Sister Jada's graduation on May 24th at 4 p.m. More details to come on that in the back. And then Women's Fellowship is on June 1st.
All right.
Church camping trip to Indiana, July 20th. And there's going to be the sign-up in the back, and there's more to come. Okay. Go ahead, sis.
I asked the Lord to bring, I said, people are coming and giving you praise. I said, give me something to come back to the body and brag on.
Come on.
So I want to give a praise report.
Amen.
My brother went to surgery on Monday. The Lord brought him through gloriously. He was up walking around and everything. And so I said, well, I think I'll just go out and be, nobody wants to be alone after surgery. So I thought I'd go out there and be with him, but he was doing so good. I said, I'm going to church tonight. I'm looking forward to what
Amen.
God has said.
That's right.
I heard that there was going to be a doubleheader, and I wouldn't
yes.
miss it for the world.
Amen.
And I thank God that I have a desire
Amen.
To be in the house of God, that I have a want to. I mean, I may have failed many times, but I got up every time I fell down
Amen.
Because I want to do it.
Yes.
And that's nothing to take for granted.
Amen. Go ahead, Sister Jen. You'll be the last one.
Glad to be here. I'm glad for a job.
Yes. Amen.
I kind of got out of the work in public. I thought, between COVID and everything in 2020, and it was just too much pressure, and just I kind of gave up. So. Thought, I still need to get out there and do things, not just sit at home.
That's right.
So
Amen.
I was given a job here with the body, so that's and God's working things out of me. So that is just so hopeful, that's good.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So that I can go on and
yes.
Do things.
Yes.
And I wanted to, I'm a believer.
That's right.
Yes. I'm not gonna
Amen.
Be tossed around anymore. I come.
That's right.
And absorb and take
yes.
it in.
Oh my goodness.
Not just
yes.
I don't want to just come and not, put a smile. Thank you.
Hey. You know what's really special about what she just said? What's really special about what she just said is that she just comes and absorbs. And you should have seen what she said on Sunday night. She was like asking how to use these gifts. You just got to get out there and live and enjoy. That's it. And now I know what that means. Just live your life. And he just gets it done while you live. It's just so simple. You don't have to think about it. You got to go to the store for some milk? Okay, go to the store with some milk. And along the way, you'll get what God's trying to do. That's part of the program. You have to live. I have needs to go by Samaria. That means he was thirsty. He sent 12 guys to go get a loaf of bread while he got something to drink. And along the way, met the woman at the well. This is how we live. And it's that simple. Don't even think about it. Just go get some milk. Let's sing Out of the Only Believe, song number 43, Come and Dine, and we'll get them up. God bless the testimonies. God bless you.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes, turn a water into wine. Disciples. disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master calleth on them to come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned.
Sing one more. I was encouraged by Brother John's song this Sunday. When him and Sister Dawn got up, he said, if there was just one song that you would know me by, that would be my song. Just got me thinking. Just in case you didn't know my song, I thought I'd share it with you tonight. I don't know how many services we get, you know? So if I got to share it every service to make sure you remember, I'm going to do it. Page 191, key of G. God has smiled on me.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He is the source. Hallelujah.
Smiled on me. He's been
good. Oh, yes, he's been good. So good. Yes, he's been good to me. Hey, man, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come together with believers one more time and just fellowship around your word. Lord, move the hearer and the speaker out of the way that we can just enjoy these few precious moments that we get to just enjoy you and just praise your name as much as we can for these few moments that we get. Lord, bless the prayer requests that have gone across, spoken or unspoken. Lord, bless those believers that made it here tonight. Lord, bless those that are listening in. Lord, bless those that may be sick during this time period, and just bless those that may be struggling with something. Lord, help them. Lord, bless us tonight as we prepare to enter your word and just enjoy each other's company one more time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. I really look forward to just fellowshipping with you guys. Yeah, it's been a little bit. I was kind of thinking back. I was like, man, I hadn't preached in a little bit. I got a little lazy, I guess. No, we've been blessed with some visitors and some opportunities, so we always appreciate that, water in and water out, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm excited about, you know, an opportunity to fellowship with believers. This is just another opportunity that I get to kind of scotch my tires, go on record, official record, that I still believe, that I'm still standing for the truth. And that God is still good, you know. And that's I really love that song, because no matter what you're going through, you can sing it. Good days, bad days, happy days, sad days. It don't change God being good to me. It doesn't even change that he smiled on me. And if you listen to the words, and I'm not going to go into the song too much, but I'll sing it again, but it's, he has set me free. There's so many people in bondage and just not free. You know, there's people that they're not even free to worship God. They're not free to worship God how they would even want to. I come in here and it's a known that I'm going to praise God however I want to. I praise God how long I want to, how loud I want to, in whatever seat I want to, whether I want to sing a song, say a poem, bring praise, clap my hands. I have the freedom to praise God any way that I want to. You know, you go to churches and they make you read a certain song, and that's the only song you get to sing. You don't get to have your favorite song. It's song number 334, and that's the one we're singing, and that's it. Heaven forbid you have another song that God may have put on your heart all week. Heaven forbid you got a chorus just singing in your mind that you want to share with somebody. That's bound. That's just bound into worship. I got a brother that gets up here and says, praise God that I had the money to get breakfast. Yes. We can go further in that. That's why I had to grab the handkerchief, because I can start crying a little bit. I can go back. How far you want me to go back? Praise God you got a wife. Yeah. Praise God your wife came with you. Yeah. Praise God you can fellowship. Praise God you can free to talk about the word of God before you get to church. Yeah. How far you want me to go back? I see somebody with their kids or something. I say, praise God, I remember when you prayed for kids. I praise God when you didn't think they could have them. I praise God that they're here. I praise God that you can hold them. Oh, I remember prayers all the time. People say, oh, pray that this one gets this. Pray that they get that. I remember even, you know, going through this. I got friends and they prayed, maybe their kids, you know, advance in speech a little bit. You know what my prayer was? I hope they talk so much you want them to be quiet. I didn't want them just to talk. I wanted you to live in the overflow. Oh, they go, I prayed little Johnny learns how to walk. I want Johnny to run. I want him to jump all over the house. I want you to remember that prayer. Why? Because God's been too good to us. See, I don't want my God to just give me enough for a meal. I want it all. I live in the overflow with God. I live in the surplus of God. I get all of it. Oh, you know, you even talk about the service. They don't know the whole plan. I know the whole plan of God. That's why I rejoice. That's why I'm happy, because I know it all. Oh, my, my, my. That's my joy. So I'm looking forward to tonight. Pastor Moore preached about the joy of my salvation. And, you know, Brother Steph, you're right. You can't microwave this thing. You know, the nicer you guys go up on the restaurant chain, the more they remove microwaves. Just letting you know. You'll ask them to heat something up, and they'll be like, how? You want to put this in the broiler? We don't have a microwave here, ma'am. We don't have a microwave here, sir. You go to Waffle House, they got a microwave. They'll heat it back up for you. Oh, this bacon's a little cold. Throw it in the microwave. We'll heat it back up for you. You go to a five-star restaurant, they're like, well, you're going to have to get you another one. I can't heat this back up. That you know what? I was talking to Brother John the other day, and I'm going to get into this, but he said something that just stirred me up. He was talking about how, you know, he comes here and hears church, and I wish he was here tonight, but anyway, he comes here and listens to the message, and he said, you know, sometimes somebody will ask him, you know, how was church? How was this? How was that? And he said, when I go, God preaches to me. Like, I can't get it and then give it to you. Like, when I come here tonight, I'm getting the word for me. I'm not going to be able to regurgitate this back and get you a revelation. I just can't. That's not how it works. You got to hear it yourself. Oh, yeah, what happened on Sunday night? I can give you kind of maybe a summary. I can shorten it. I can abbreviate it. You know, this person said that. That person said this. But are you going to get a revelation from that? No. You're seeing part of the picture at best. You're hoping I remembered how they said it. You're hoping I remember what order and they said it in. But I'm just giving you the best I can give you as an overview. That's in shadow form. But I come here for me. And you know, you talk about this and you look at it and go, when I come here to get to get my joy renewed, it's for me. I can't, you know, praise God for my wife. She's working. There's no way I'm going to be able to take, and I'm preaching tonight. I can't take this message home and be like, hey, honey, here's what I said. Blah. I don't know what God's going to say. I'll go back and look at my notes and be like, well, no, he didn't use those. And he didn't use this one. And I can't help you. And that's the thing about this thing. This is for you. When you come here, this is for you. Praise God that you made it here. That you can get the strength now that you need to go forward. But I can't go lift weights for you. I can tell you all the workouts in the gym. Oh, they got a bench press? Yeah, that was nice. They got a squat machine. Oh, it looks nice. They got a rack full of weights. Oh, it looks nice. But if you ain't lifting them, if you weren't there, it ain't going to do you no good. When I start talking about the miracles that I saw with my own eyes, anyway, don't even get me started. But I praise God for what I get for me. Because God's been too good to us. He's been too good to us. You know, this all revolves around having a new birth. Yes. And then the more I look at this, the more I look at that, the more important the new birth is. Amen. Because when you understand it, it puts everything else in line. Yes. When you say, restore my joy, it's reminding you. Yes. I'm reminding you that you're one of them. I remind you that Jesus paid it all. I'm not telling you for the first time. I'm reminding you there is a God on the inside. How does that God get there, Brother Jay? When you get a new birth, God is on the inside. Oh, and what is, so then when you understand that, you go, well, what are the attributes of God? What is God then? God is good. God is perfect. God always agrees with the word. But if those same attributes apply to God, now let's not, you know, when you're moving the little cup and I put the ball under there, the ball's there, even though you can't see it, you know, I took all those good attributes. They're in here. I'm good. I'm perfect. I always agree with the word. Why? Because I'm God. See, now if I just say I'm God and that's all you hear, you don't understand how this builds. You don't understand how it works out. So anyway, let's get in here. You know, I was thinking about the quote Brother Branham said, and I don't know how it's going to tie in, but I was just thinking about the quote because I pray it every time I pray. And anytime I'm going to preach, I pray this prayer. And it's about Brother Branham. I'm going to tell you guys a story. So Brother Branham was at a church, and this guy was going to get up to preach. And the guy gets up just super boastful. Like, I know what I got. I'm like, can't wait. They're going to hear this. They're going to love this, right? Gets up really boastful. Well, he gets up, and his message is dud. Flat. Nobody says amen. Nobody does anything. Dead message. And he gets down from the pulpit all humble and sits down. And Brother Branham says, had you gotten up like you came down, you'd have came down like you got up. And I remember that. Because I'll get stirred up on a lot of things and thinking, oh, wait till they see this. Wait till they see that. Wait till they see this. Wait till they, oh, I can't wait till I get up here. And I got to settle myself down. Like, hold on now. God's the only revealer. I can have a ton of scriptures, and if you don't believe me, it ain't going to do you no good. I can have a ton of thoughts, but if it's just my thoughts, it ain't going to do you no good. God is the discerner. He's got to come in here and feed you, and feed you, and feed you, and feed you. I might get a scripture, and I'm reading it, I'm saying, ooh, that does good for me, but I need to know a scripture for Brother Don. I need to know a scripture for Brother Caleb. I need to know a scripture for Brother Jeremiah. I need to know a scripture for Brother Seth. He's got to feed all of you. So we come in here as ministers, we come in humble. Oh, yeah, we studied, show ourselves approved, but I'm humble. I'm saying, Lord, feed them. I don't even know what they want to eat. I don't even know what they want. I don't know what they need. I don't talk to you all week to find out what you need, and I don't want to. That's your pastor's job. I don't burden me with that. My memory would be too much. I'd be like, you need what? What is going on in your, whoa, right? But anyway, enough of that. Title of my message tonight is Praise the Lord. Because we're singing that song, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? Just praise the Lord. If God be God, let's just serve him. So there's a scripture, and I'm going to read this scripture. So what happens a lot of times is people don't listen to the whole message. And that's normally the problem. Because in this hour, you shouldn't be miserable all the time. You shouldn't. You know, Pastor Moore, even when it was closing, he said, you know, you can't let Satan beat you up all the time. I mean, that just shouldn't be. Not what we get in here. You get the word of the hour in here, and it's readily available. Do you know you can listen to the service anytime you want? Well, Pastor Moore made a key point. He said, you know, when I'm trying to do bad, I don't go grab the Bible. He knows what it'll do. It'll stop all those. It'll stop everything. You go to pull it out, and you're like, well, over in Job, I was thinking about heading to the bar, but read this first. It'll kill the mood. Imagine bringing that out at the party, and everybody's just partying and doing whatever, and you're like, let's couple scriptures were on my heart. Music will stop. What are you doing? That's how you feed that white dog, though. Because if you really want to feed that white dog, there's some ways to do it. You can listen to service at any time. It's on your phone. You can listen to it at any time. There is no excuse for you to be without. You can listen to it. If you see your mind battling something, there is no excuse for you to stay in misery. You can listen to it at work. It's just too readily available. For you to tell me that all day you suffered, that means you willingly are ignorant. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go over here and read in Nehemiah. Because I feel like Brother Seth a little bit tonight. I'm like, I got scriptures and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to just read them, leave them here, and then Jeremiah can sort it out. That's how I feel about it. I'm looking forward to it. But just looking at over here in Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah over in chapter 8, kind of setting the context here. Nehemiah and Ezra are coming out, and they're reading the laws to the people. Nehemiah and Ezra were tasked with kind of restoring the law. So it's a historical thing here. It just got my mind thinking about it, but that's what their job was to do. So when they come out, they had everybody around, gathered them all up, and verse 1-8, you can read through it. But they're reading through and they're talking to the people and they're just sharing with them all the laws. And the people are listening and they're like, "We can't do it. We can't do it." What Nehemiah and Ezra thought would be a good day, the people are just face down, crying, like, "I can't live up to all those laws." Nehemiah Ezra look out over them and says, now this is Nehemiah, which is the Tisbethite, and Ezra, which is the priest of the scribe and the Levites that taught the people, this verse 9, said unto all the people, they recognized that they didn't read the whole scripture, they didn't know the whole story. This day is holy unto the Lord God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. They were listening to that like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And a lot of times I think some people have fallen off because they go, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do this? And you stop. Read the whole story. The quote that you're saying when you say the joy of the Lord is my strength, the beginning part of that is people didn't know how they were going to do it. But God is your strength. God is your joy. He's the one that does all this. When you get a new birth, you know what God does? He takes care of everything. He gives you the strength to stand strong. He gives you the joy that you need to be renewed. He gives you everything. Now, I get that there's two sides of the coin that you have free moral agency, but I don't even like focusing on that too much, because what it does is it gets you in your mind where you're thinking, oh, I messed up here. Oh, I messed up there. Let's just talk about perfection for a little bit. Let me just talk about what God is doing for a little bit. Because God never rejects the word. Never. God never rejects the word. So you never reject the word as a believer. Oh, but I don't live up to it. I didn't say that. Oh, I don't manifest it all the time. I didn't say that. You never reject the word as a believer. When it comes across your path, all you say is yay and amen.
That's the only requirement. Oh, I could be better. Yeah, we all could. Oh, we could do that. That's the devil talking to you. Because tonight we're talking about eternity for a little bit. Let's step into that a little bit. Let me remind you of why you should be happy. Let me remind you of what God has done for you. Let me remind you that there was a time when you didn't know God. There was a time that you couldn't see God. There was a time that God was an unseen force. But now you see God plainly, face to face. Praise God for that. There was a time that the Bible scared you. There was a time that talking about heaven scared you. There was a time that you didn't know how your loved one was going to get there. It all scared you. You're not scared now. You're excited. You're enthused. You know. You can see. Praise God for that. And they go, oh, well, I want this. I want that. You're complaining.
Got another story for you. This husband and wife, and I told my wife this story. Husband and wife. Husband's complaining all the time. And the wife says, you know what? I'm just going to do whatever you ask. I'm not going to give you my own thought on it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to give you anything you ask for. That's what I'm going to do. And this is in the morning. He says, okay, I want breakfast. She says, whatever you want for breakfast, I'll get it. If we don't have it here, I'll go get it. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. He says, I want two eggs. One scrambled and one fried. She says, okay. She makes it, gives it to him. He's still sitting there all mule face. She goes, what's wrong? You fried the wrong one. Right? This is somebody that complains. That's somebody that ain't hungry. I come here hungry. I come here every service hungry. I come here, Lord, what do you want? I don't even care who's preaching it. I don't care who testifies it. I come here hungry. You can't give me a wrong scripture. If you want to go to Revelations, that's where I want to go. You want to go to Genesis, that's where I want to go. You want to slide over into Nehemiah, can't bring it on to me. You want to go over to Job, Ezra, whatever you want to do, Lord, that's what I want. You can't give it to me in the wrong way. You can't bring it too strong. You can't call my name enough times in the service. I'll say, I must need it. But I still need the word. There's something on the inside of me that agrees with the word every single time it crosses my path. Oh, and are there tricks there to trade to help you kind of get a little bit better on your flesh? Yes. There's ways that can help you with that. Oh, I'll tell you guys one of my secrets. I use somebody's title over me, whatever it is, as much as I can. That helps me keep me in the right frame of mind. Now, I got a boss. He loves me beyond. And he likes to call at like 5:30 in the morning. That's just the time he gets up. He gets up, gets his day started. You guys know construction, things can go a different way. You got concrete getting poured at 7, you got guys got to be. So the day starts for him at 5:30. And how I answer the phone is, hey boss, what do you need? That helps me. He don't care. He not even listening for me to say hello. He just starts talking. But it helps me. It puts me in the right frame of mind, like, this is your boss. This is his phone that he's talking to you on. He does pay your bills so that way you can feed your family. Hey, boss, what do you need? That just helps me stay in the right frame of mind. Then you go, oh, Brother Jay, where are you getting at? You know what? When Pastor Moore starts rebuking me, I keep reminding my Pastor Moore, what'd you say? What'd you say, Pastor Moore? Okay. What am I doing? That's a little trick there. Give you guys some secrets. Because when I want to rail up and go, well, I do this right, I do that right. What'd you say, Pastor? That's my pastor. He's ordained to lead me through. Let me tell you something. No, you're thinking, oh, Brother Jay, you're getting off of here. No, I'm going to tell you what happens. Let me tell you what happens when you start losing respect. You drop that pastor real quick. Then it becomes Brother Moore said. And then maybe Mr. Moore or Nate said. And then he said. And then your pastor said. I'm just showing you how that's how it works. That's how it works. I've seen it for myself. It'll be Pastor Moore said, Pastor Moore said, Pastor Moore said. And then it's Brother Moore said. And then Mr. Moore or Nate said, and then your pastor said, I've seen it myself. I've seen that respect start to dwindle to where you think you got a better idea. Then you'll come in here and go, Nate doesn't know my whole life. You see how disrespectful that was? That's disrespectful. You've never heard me say that. I'm just showing you an example of how that works. When you start falling away, and then you know what starts happening, then all of a sudden, all you got is questions now. When it's Pastor Moore, all you got is answers. When it's Pastor Moore, you got answers to this, got answer to that, got answer to this, got answer to that. Then when it's Moore or Nate, you're filled with questions. Now you don't know. Now you don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's coming. You don't know. I'm telling you how you can stay in the know.
Recognize your position in this thing. God's got a hierarchy in here to help you for a reason. That's same for the wives. That's same for the husbands. Same for the kids. Oh, you know, we got kids. I got two kids. If they come in the house and they go, Courtney, I want something to eat. What? 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 Right? You lost your mind. Right? And that's kids to a parent. Right? How much more disrespectful is it when you come into the house of God and disrespect God's channels? And those are things to help you. This is all about your joy, because you lose your joy when you lose your mind a little bit. Then you, when you got questions, you're concerned, you're worried about everything. Then now the election does matter. Now where you work does matter. Now who your neighbors are does matter. Now you're afraid of everything. Oh, I don't know who lives there. I don't care who lives there. I don't care who works here. I don't care. None of those things matter to me. I got answers. I'm walking in the light. I'm not in the dark. I got light for everywhere I step. Oh, my. And you know, another thing that's going to help your joy, are you in constant communication with God? See, because this needs to be a communication thing. See, a lot of people talk to God, but does God talk to them? It's not communication if I'm just saying something to you. I don't even wait around for you to pick it up. You know, Pastor Moore did that thing one time. It was like a little experiment. It's just where he said, like, you know, hey, to everybody that was coming in. And he said, how you doing? They don't want to do that. Like, if you're walking out the door and somebody's standing there, they don't want to actually talk to you. They're just saying hi, and you keep going. But if they're like, how you doing? And you stop, and he's like, you know, work's been crazy. My wife's been bothering me. The kids, they're like, what are you doing? Get out of the way. I just was trying to be polite. I don't really want to know. Right? That's how it is sometimes when you come in here. You come in here and just say, God bless you. I don't really want to know about God. I don't want God to actually talk to me. I don't want this to be a communication thing. I just want to look like I care. I just want to look like I matter. I just want to look like I belong. But I want God to use my name. I want God to put my name on it when he comes in here. I want him to know who I am. That's why we don't go to no mega church. I want God to see me and I to see him. I want, if I'm doing something, I want him to know it. I want God to hear the cries of his people. You know, when you go through the scripture and said, God saved the whole world, who's God's world? Who does he really actually even care about? Who's God concerned with? Who's God concerned with is their happiness? Oh, because I could be a nice person, but if your happiness overrides my wife's happiness, you're out of luck. You're out of luck. That's who I'm obligated to make happy. That's where all my bread and butter goes. That's where all my thought processes go. I want to know what days of the week she likes the best. I want to know what flowers she likes the best. I want to know when her birthday is. I'm probably one of the worst friends there is. I don't remember birthdays. And here's the crazy thing. I don't even try to remember. Like, I don't put them in my calendar. I could do that. I don't do any of that. But then in my defense, I just try to be a good friend all the time. That's my defense. I'm a friend all the time. So if I don't remember, you're like, well, he's still good, you know. So anyway, but I just think about that because sometimes people come in here and they just want, like, the ceremonies. A lot of times in Catholics even, they just want, like, the big mass services, Easter's and the New Year's. I want the Wednesdays and the Tuesdays and the Sunday nights. That's what's going to get me through. I can't make it from Easter to New Year's without this thing. I can't go two services a year. I got to have it every time it's open. The Bible says, forsake not to gather yourselves together, even that much more as you see the day approaching. So do you see the day approaching or not? Because if you don't, then you have an excuse. But I don't have any excuses. God's no longer sitting on the mercy seat for me anymore. He's in here. There was silence in heaven, but he's here now. There shouldn't be silence in here. Oh, my. He dwells in the praises of his people. Who's his people? Us. Amen. Oh, he's excited to be here tonight with us. Yes. That was his plan, was to fellowship with man continually. Yes. Oh, my. See, the church world will have you coming and going. Amen. No. Once you get that new birth, that's the end of it. Amen. That's the end of it. God moves in. He ain't moving out. He's not moving out. Amen. This is my forever home. Amen. That's what he says. Right. It's you and me to stay forever. Amen. So much so that he's taking it with him. He said, I won't leave it there. Oh, that flesh, he don't care about it. That's not where he's, he don't care about that. Oh, that spirit realm, he don't care about that. He said, I'll get you a better one. But the real me, that's going to stay there. This soul doesn't get improved. It's as best as it'll ever be. It receives all the word that it'll ever receive. All the word. Every time the word comes across my path, I can't help but to receive it. Oh, and when you realize that you can receive the word of God, just reflect on that a little bit. Everybody else says, put that in your pipe of smoking. That's what you need to think about a little bit. Because you can receive the word of God. There are people that can't receive the word of God. Amen. And you know, I get it. We've all had good days and things like that and things that have happened. And I get it. I get it. I'm not even trying. I don't even know a better way to say it. Like, I've been laying in a bed in pain, in misery, laying there. And if somebody was to come to me and be like, Brother Jay, I know you got a feeding tube, and I know your anniversary is probably tomorrow, and you won't get to celebrate it, but I got Seven Church A's book. I'm going to leave it right here. It should help you out, brother. Come on, bro. Come on. Right? Like, I'm not lying to you guys. I'm being honest. That would do me no good. No good. In my current state, I couldn't hold the book. I couldn't have read the book. You leaving that there would have just made you feel better. You know, I went to go visit Brother Jay, and I left him one of my copies of the Seven Church A's books. That brother should really battle through. You serious? You left me a 50-year-old book? 70-year-old book? Thought I was going to do something for me? I need a God today. Amen. Won't you tell me about the God right now? Won't you remind me that, hey, you know, Brother Jay, the church been praying for you? And God is real. I saw him take care of Sister Christy. He took care of prayer for Sister Clarice. He took care of something for Sister Renee. And guess what? That same God, that God of yesterday is here today. That God is going to take care of you. Brother, I see you're weak, and I see you in the molting season. Let me throw you a little bit of meat and let you know that this too shall pass. Oh, that'll give me joy. That'll get me stirred up in the bed, shaking, saying, let me at him one more time. Lord, restore my strength one more time. That'll get me stirred up. But you bring me your form and fashion, your traditions, that won't do nothing for me. Those are dead men bones. They won't help me at all. I need a God of today. I need the God of I am. That's what helps me get through. And that's the only thing any believer really wants, is the God of right now. Oh, I'm like that child that was sitting there, and he was sitting there. Brother Brown told that story about they were going through a storm, and the kid was sitting with his mommy. And mommy's like, you know, Jesus is going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. You know, because we do that with our kids. This is just God bowling upstairs. That's where the thunder is, and that's the lightning. That's God bowling, right? Yeah, I've done that to my kids. Kind of try to calm them down a little bit, even though I'm scared too. Like, don't hit this house. You know, hope the winds. You know what that child said? Mommy, I want a guy with skin on him. I want a guy with skin on him when I'm going through some things. It's all right if he's bowling when me and him are together. But I'm feeling like I'm by myself right now. When you're going through something and it's trying to steal your joy, you want a guy with skin on him. Thank God you got a guy with skin on him. Let's reflect on that for a couple of minutes. You got God in flesh. Not at any time did they have this much God on their hands. There has never been a time in history that they had this much God on their hands. Amen. Oh, Brother Jay, what are you saying? When Jesus was here, if you weren't by the well, you weren't by Jesus. You missed him. You missed him. You missed all the God that was available if Jesus passed you by. You did. Oh, even when you think about Brother Branham being here, it was pretty concentrated sense of God there too. Brother Branham's on record when he said, Brother Branham, you think everybody's getting it? They all were cheering. They were all excited. They were all standing by. He said, I can count it on my hand. That's Brother Branham. But, not now. You can't count it on one hand now, Brother Branham. It's a many-membered body now. As a matter of fact, that quote says, what are you going to do when you get that group? That group together. Not those few. Not that one or two, not that couple, but when you get that group together, not even cancer. Oh, we've seen all those things move. I'm going to get here. I'm going to go quick, go through some of these things because I praise God for what he's doing. And I'm really, really excited to hear about Brother Jeremiah. I just wanted to get up for a little bit and let y'all know that I believe this thing. And I got some tricks up my sleeve on how to defeat that Satan. You know, I got to do these things sometimes called like financial literacies. And where I like go teach kids about money. And the lady, she says, you know, what are you going to need to get ready? And I was like, I've been doing the same exact class for 7 years, ma'am. I don't need anything to get ready. It's like if I asked you how to tie your shoes, how long do you need to put a PowerPoint together? You do it every day. I do this all the time. I'm ready. I can do it tonight. I can do it tomorrow. I'm ready. That's how I feel about defeating Satan.
Okay.
I don't need a long time to tell you how to do it. I do this like putting on my shoes. I do it every day. I overcome him every day. You go, where's the proof? You see me right now? This is what overcoming looks like. This is the proof of what I do every single day. When you see me, you see the Father. That's proof that I'm overcoming every single day. Oh, you want to throw the word test out there? Throw a little word out there and see what I do with it. Just throw a little word out there and see how. Just watch me. Just watch me. Just see what I do when the word crosses my path. I don't care what state you find me in. I could almost be out of my mind. And you just throw a little bit of word out there. Oh, that ain't nothing but the truth, Pastor. That ain't nothing but the truth, Brother Don. You just throw a little word out there. And that's every believer. That's every believer. Because see, Satan will have you tricked saying, well, Brother Jay's just so strong because he blah, whatever. Don't let him lie to you. Brother Tommy's so strong because he believes the word. Brother John is so strong because he believes the word. Riley's so strong because she believed the word. We're just believers. See, Satan will have you thinking that somebody's going to be the weak link. No. There is none. Nobody can fall off and make this thing messed up. See, because when there's a weak link in a chain, one person can fall off and it'll mess it up. There ain't nobody that can fall off and mess this up. If I got to carry us all by myself, we got enough to do it. That's how I feel about this thing. There's no weak link in this thing. We all have the faith to move mountains. And I even love how even Brother Jerry Allen was talking about that. He said, you know, I don't need the Himalayas moved. I don't need Mount Everest moved. Sometimes I need depression moved. Sometimes I need a little doubt removed. Sometimes I need a little ego removed. Sometimes I need a little vainness removed. Sometimes I might need procrastination removed. Those are mountains. Sometimes I need those mountains removed. And I praise God I got a God big enough to do it. I got a God big enough to do it. Amen. And this is just a reminder that you have a new birth. That's what takes care of all of it. Amen. When God is in there, he takes care of all of it. Because you know what's going to happen? God is obligated to feed himself. He's obligated to feed that soul. He has to. He takes care of himself. Matter of fact, that's even how that scripture goes to talk about, you know, if he takes care of the lilies, he takes care of the birds. How much more? How much more do you think he's going to do to take care of you? Anyway, let me read a couple of these scriptures here, and I'm going to get out of you guys' way. I love this thing. So I got a couple of scriptures here. Like I said, I'm going to throw them out there. If he can use them, he can use them. If he can't, who cares? Bro, Jeremiah is loaded. He don't need no more bullets. He's got them. But I was just thinking about that. So, because we can be happy now, saints. Like, Pastor Moore, you said that Sunday. You said, you know, sometimes people think when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. I don't got to wait. I don't even know when I'm going to heaven. You want me to sit around and wait for some no man knows the time or the day. So I got to be miserable for an unlimited specified time? No. I'm going to be happy now. I want him to restore my joy now. I want my God to take care of it now. You tell me you can move mountains, move that mountain. You tell me you can do all things, do that then. Amen. That's how I do it. And I'm kind of like Sister Clarice asking for money. I ask for it and I expect it to show up. I'm going to keep begging every service. Lord, please. Lord, please. It's Sunday night. Lord, please. We'll just restore my joy. Wednesday morning. We'll please. Tonight, hopefully at church. No. I don't got to give Satan a minute. I can start to praise God. See how these songs are so important? In advance. Oh, when Brother Branham prayed for that brother that hadn't lost his sight, he didn't wait till he started to see to praise God. See, that was trying to make fun of him. The church world's trying to make fun of him because they're like, didn't Brother Branham heal you? He said he did. Well, you can't see. Yes, I can. Praise God, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm going to step out on that thing. Got so much so that they kept trying to make fun of me. He's in the barbershop. Then his eyes opened up. He just kept on praising God. Got up out of there and kept praising God. He didn't just start praising God. He kept praising God. That's how it is now. Oh, Lord, bless my finances. Lord, I know you're going to do it. Let me go ahead and praise you now. Lord, I got some issues in my home. I know you're going to take care of it. Let me praise him now. I'm not going to sit around and be miserable waiting on God to move. God, you give me too much. You give me the revelation of the hour. That's greater than anything anybody ever has. Amen. This revelation alone, by itself, is enough. Amen. It is. Oh, well, you got to get a friend. I ain't got to get a friend. That's the trick of Satan. Oh, you're by yourself. No, I'm not. I'm not by myself. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And, oh, but this is too hard. It says he'll never put more on than you can bear. What scriptures are you reading? What part of the Bible are you looking at then? Because I don't find that where I should be defeated, where I'm allowed to be sitting down. I'm Joshua's group. It says be strong and courageous. That's who you're talking about with me. I believe the God of Moses, but I'm not sitting around waiting for him to show up. He, when I call him on the scene, I expect him to move.
Amen.
Go forth. Go forth. Yeah, that's right. Oh, see, Moses stopped at the rock and waited. Lord, what should I do? It's no problem asking, Lord. We don't know. But I know. I do know.
Amen.
That was the difference. Joshua knew that God had already gave him the commandments and told him what to do.
Right.
In this hour, we've already been told what to do.
Amen.
So now we can just praise him.
Right.
That was my title. We're just praising him now.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not doubting him. I'm not hoping. I just praise him now.
Amen.
Oh, what are you praising for, Brother Jay? Everything. I praise him for everything. Whenever Satan wants to put something up, oh, this is that. Nope. God's been too good to me. Oh, Brother Jay, your kids don't do that. No, God gave me kids. Oh, Brother Jay, your wife don't. But God gave me a wife. Oh, Brother Jay, you can't. But God says that he's happy to dwell here. God is happy to dwell in me. He is pleased to dwell in this tabernacle. The same God that created me, if he wanted to change me, he could. But since he's happy with how it's set up, I'm going to let him sit there and be happy.
Amen.
Then I'm happy too.
Amen.
If he likes sitting in a black man, let him sit here in a black man.
Amen.
If he wants to change my skin color, guess what? The same one that darkened it can lighten it up if he wants to. He can do it. If he wants me a little bit taller, he can do it. He wants me to shrink down a little bit, he can do it. He can do anything he wants.
Amen.
He's God. See, I don't limit God. See, that's another thing that... That's another one of my tricks I'd be smacking Satan with. I don't limit God. I don't limit him. And I try to sprinkle that faith a little bit in my kids. It comes from the sky. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting in there that no matter if you see it or not, it's still showing up. I'm letting you know how to. I'm sprinkling a little faith in there. So if my kids are listening, they're learning the trick now. I'm letting them know that no matter what I see, God can still make it happen. Oh, but Dad, they shut the door. It can still show up. Oh, but this happened. It can still happen. Oh, I don't know how. He didn't tell me I had to know how. He said, simply believe. And all things are possible. And matter of fact, said, all things work together. For the good of those. Not the bad of those, but for the good of those. Oh, it's all for my good. I've been called. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. Did I have to do that? No. He did those things. He called me. I'm just answering the call. Oh, my. So anyway, let's read a couple of these scriptures here and get out of the way and let Brother Jeremiah have it. This is Psalms 121, 1 through 2. It says, I look to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. Next scripture, Exodus 15 and 2. Says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. God gives me strength. And then the last scripture here is, over in Psalms 51, 12 through 15, it says, restore unto me. That's where that scripture comes from. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Just remind me a little bit. That's all that happens every service. We come in here and God just reminds us of who we are. Because Satan will have you thinking that you're not a believer. He'll go, oh, well, I've missed church a couple times and this and that. That's never in the requirements. There's not an attendance record up there saying, well, Brother Jay, you were late Sunday night, then you missed Wednesday, then so you got to be four in a row, and then you're back being a member. We don't have that. When you come in here, we act like you're at 100%. You come in the door, it's like, praise God. Praise God, you made it back. I didn't know I was going to make it. I didn't know you were going to make it, but we made it. We both made it. We're here, 100%. I got 100% attendance. See, whenever Satan tries to throw something on you, I'm telling you how to get him off. When he tries to put that on you, well, I don't do this right, I don't do that right. Do you believe the word? Yeah, of course I believe the word. Well, they told me that's the only requirement. Who told you? God said that. God said that? Yeah, he said that's the only requirement. Do you believe God? Well, of course I believe God. Well, then you're all right. But I do this wrong. I do that wrong. Well, find me a scripture that says that puts you out. I can't find one. Matter of fact, there's a scripture that says, blessed is the man. And the things in which he allows. That does kind of cover there, Brother Don. I even love it how Pastor Moore said over in the book of James, he was talking about how don't count it bad when you find yourself in diverse places. Count it all joy. See, the last one I leave you with is David, man after God's own heart. He says he makes my dinner in the midst of mine enemy. That means I sit down and enjoy myself even with the haters around me. God makes a nice plate for me. He makes it right in the middle of them to let them know that the best that they could do won't disturb my peace. It won't bother me at all. Let the winds howl. I'm still sitting here feasting and eating on the unfailing body word of ministry of God. I love how God does this thing. See, the church world will have you hiding. I don't hide. I'm easy to find. God has been too good to me for me to shrug and back off my responsibilities. You can't outwork God. Oh, well, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. I don't care if God has something every night. That'd be minor compared to what he's given me. He's given us joy, peace, rest, salvation, a revelation of the hour, a body of believers to serve God. What? And you want me to walk around mule-faced? You want me to take down? I can't do it. I know too much about God. I've seen him move too much in my life. And, you know, I got an elephant memory. I've seen him move in your life. So whenever I start doubting that he's moving in mine, I can look over and see what he's been doing to you. And I say, I believe the God of Jeremiah. If he took care of Jeremiah, he's got to take care of me. See how I'm stepping there? I don't let Satan have any room. I don't have any room. Oh, Brother Jay, you're not seeing no miracles in your life. No, but I'm seeing some in Seth. I see some in Elise. I see some in Brother Don. And I'm putting it in my shoulder. I'm just saying, that means I'm next. We're in the same line. We go to the same church. We believe the same God. I just must be next. I don't let Satan have any room. Because see, what he'll try to do is, well, you're still struggling. Your family's... No, I must just be next. I just must be next. And I'm just sitting there waiting. You know, because if you come from a big family, when they serve food, you're not sitting there thinking you're not getting none. I don't care what order they serve it. I'm just waiting for my bowl. I know I must be next. If my mom wanted to start at my brother Joe and work her way up, that's fine. I just must be next. She might start at me and work her way down. Joe, don't sit there and go, well, I guess I'm not eating tonight. I see Jay and Alan and Chris and Josh. No, you just must be next. That I'm part of the family. You see how that removes doubt? You see how that works that out of there? And it's just simple thing. These are just simple tricks to get Satan out of there. Because you'll get me here serving God and think he ain't doing nothing for you. Oh, my. We serve a God that's too good. Oh, my God. That's why I can always say God has smiled on me. He put me in this church. And Pastor Moore even said it Sunday. He said, how do you know that this is your church? Because I'm here. That's how I know. See, because Satan will put that even on you. You and Pastor Moore, you were so right, talking about how, you know, if somebody has questions about God and those kind of things, it'd make more sense if you saw them studying it. Really would. I mean, there's a United Theological Seminary in Dayton. If you were serious, you'd enroll, you'd take classes, and you'd get closer to God. If you were serious, if that was a serious thing. That's like if somebody's telling me they're going to be a doctor and they never enrolled in school. I'm just going to be a doctor one day. When's your residency? Residency. Where do you go to school? School. Well, how are you going to be a doctor? I'm going to get closer to God. Where you go to church? Church. Who's your pastor? Pastor. How are you getting close to God? What are you doing? What book are you reading? Who are you? Somebody should be preaching to you. Somebody should be revealing the word to you. There's got to be a man somewhere in this thing. But anyway, I digress. I love you guys. I praise God for the opportunity just to let you know I do love you, because this is my life. This is all I got, and it's good. You know, some people say, oh, well, all I have is it. No. I'm loaded down like a heavy wagon. This is all I need, all I got, and it's everything to me. This is my life. This is everything I have in life is built on this. This is my foundation for everything. This is my foundation on my family, foundation on how I even treat my family, foundation on where I work, how I even treat my work, foundation on myself and how I treat myself. Amen. I keep myself in such a way that I can make it on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. I do. There's things that we could all do that would make sure we don't make it back. But I do everything in my power. What can I manipulate? Can I change this? Can I work third shift Tuesday so I can be off on Wednesday? Can I work Saturday so I can have Sunday? I'm just telling you facts. Those are just simply the facts, ma'am. Those are things that we've all have done as believers to make sure that we can be here. Amen. Why? Because it's so important. Amen. I've seen this thing fix my life. Amen. My life. Yeah. It's fixed my life. Amen. And you want me to take down? You just don't see it. But I see it. God has been too good to me. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah. Come on up.
Good. I hadn't been announced there's a doubleheader. I'd probably just said, let's go home. We've had good church. And God is good. And we are here to praise Him. And if there's a group of people that should be able to praise Him, it should be us. And praise the Lord. Thank God that somehow, some way, there's a couple scriptures left in here. After Brother Moore and Brother James preached, but God knows what He's doing. And it's good to be here. And I was telling my wife earlier, just having a little fun, I said, you know, I watch you all. You guys get under that anointing. I'm talking about the congregation here. You song service go 30 minutes, 35 minutes. You ain't worried about time. Sunday night, you guys get going. You ain't worried about time. So now you understand tonight if I'm not going to worry about time. So I'm going to take my time. I'm just going to be real honest with you. We're going to act like we're just getting started. Amen. And we've had church already. I'm not saying we haven't. We've had good church. But God is always talking to us, always dealing with us, always helping us along the way. He's a good caretaker. He knows every need we have. He supplies all our needs. He knows what we came here with, what questions, before we even arrived. He had James's notes, the ones he used and didn't use, all figured out before you even got here. Isn't that nice to know that He's got a message just for you, just for me? The Lord, the great God of all heaven, that people wonder who He is. He's here tonight to talk to you personally, deal with you. And you can see Him and talk to Him and ask Him questions, and He's got all your answers. That's a good place to be. We ought to be able to praise Him. Amen. We ought to be able to rejoice. Amen. So with that said, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans, the 14th chapter. I want to start there. And start with a verse here. Let me get my notes open here. I might not be able to preach without them. But we know how it goes. We study to show ourselves approved. And Brother James is right. You know, you don't come here with thinking you got some big, great message. You come here every time like, Lord, if you don't do it, it isn't getting done. And that's sincere. And we try to explain it to you. I'm opening these notes, and if I use half of them, I'll be lucky. And it's not even what my desire is. I want God to have His way. So I don't have some great message up here. But I am like James. You know, when you're studying, sometimes you do get enthused. You know, because this word's enthusing. So turn with me to Romans, the 14th chapter. And I'm going to just read one verse here, and we'll get started. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your many blessings. Thank You for Your word of the hour, for Your songs tonight, Your testimonies, for the message that You just brought through James, Lord. Lord, You've given us a new birth. You've let us know who we are. You've supplied all our needs. You've developed a relationship with us, Lord. You've given us so many blessings, and we worship You and praise You for it. Have Your way with the rest of the service. Preach to us, talk to us, Lord. open these pages where you want to go. Answer the questions that need to be answered. Be with this bride, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. So I was thinking a little bit this week. You know, Brother Moore was preaching on Sunday. James even talked a little bit about tonight. You know, so often, you know, people have made church, I'll just call it church, religion, Christianity, even all the way into this message, a code of ethics only. Now, let me say this. We know that God comes in and changes your nature and your life changes and you live certain ways and your desires to live for God and he'll deal with you. That's all part of it. But people get it backwards how that even works. And instead, what they'll do is they'll make this message be what we call meat and drink only. What you wear, how you dress, how you act. And people will get the wrong conception of what it even means to serve God. They'll think it's just a code of rules, Brother Kevin. And what that ends up doing is you read it, and you're a little bit like James read over there in Nehemiah. You read it and say, oh, my Lord, how do I keep every bit of this? And then you'll have this other idea that says, well, if I don't do all this, I'm not worthy to go to heaven. And that gets you down. And before you know it, you do look like one of those mule deer walking by, mule-faced people down. Because it's not really a dynamic relationship with God. It's just a code of rules to you.
That's right.
And that's not what this Bible, what this message, what this whole thing that we have today, this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, was ever intended to be about at all.
Amen.
That's never what God wanted. Brother Branham taught us, and it's clear in the Bible, God didn't want to dwell alone. He wanted to have a creation that he could dwell in and fellowship with and actually have a relationship with.
Amen.
Not just be a Lord and we're a bunch of robots, all the way to the point where he put us on free moral agency just so it wouldn't be robotic.
Amen.
He wanted somebody that wanted to serve him, Brother Deskin. He wanted somebody that chose him. God was so great, he says, I'm going to create human beings and I'm not even going to make them serve me. I'm going to give a choice to them whether they want to serve me or not.
Amen.
That's what God's wanted from day one.
Amen.
And what the devil's done is he's inserted creeds and dogmas. And it started with the Catholic Church. You want to find the most ritual laws and orders and traditions and purgatory and paying your way into heaven and setting up all kinds of schisms and steps you got to do, go right to the Catholic Church. That's where they started leaving what Paul taught. And they started putting works in there and started making some type of code of rules. And it's never been intended by God to be that at all. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the law is not even for a righteous man. God knew that if you're a righteous man, that you have a new birth. You'd serve him because you love him.
Amen.
And this thing's intended to be a true dynamic relationship. Oh, we've had a lot of mechanics sometimes. And you got to have the mechanics. You got to have the Word. The Word is God. You get born again off the Word of God. But if you have no dynamics, quickening that Word to you, making it real to you, making it become one with you, then all it's going to be is a letter to you. And Paul said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You need both Word and Spirit to make this thing work in your life. If all you're doing is trying to study a Bible and get it memorized, and live by a code of rules, that's not going to last. That won't survive. You're going to realize one day you can't keep this thing good enough. But you need a change by God, a real change by God, a dynamic power to come in your life to annihilate an old nature and quicken a new nature so that your whole life revolves around this thing. Without it, it won't work. That's why that Catholic priest sometimes, I think it was Catholic priest walking with Brother Moore, how do you keep your people in order if you don't have these laws on them?
Right.
Because it's a relationship with God, a real love affair, a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what this thing's about.
Amen.
I always love it. It's in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I've memorized the quote almost. Brother Branham says people get the wrong concept. They think we've got to make converts to Christianity and its government.
Right.
And he was quick to say, he said, that's not it at all. He says, I can show you Muslims and heathens in the dark places or deep places of Africa that will outshine you on your day-to-day life. That's not what it's about. People that don't go to church can outlive you. Because there's people that meditate day in and day out. I can go find you a monk, a Buddhist monk, a Hindu monk that does nothing but meditate day and night. Hasn't had time to deal with the world that you deal with. They'll outlive you day in and day out. But that's not what Christ wanted. That's not what God wanted. He wanted somebody that says, I want that. That's who I want to be with. I want a relationship with God. That sounds right to me. And when that happens in your life, you don't do it because it's some memorized thing or some mechanical thing. It's just part of your everyday life. That's how this thing's got to work. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. It's peace. It's righteousness. Brother Morris taught us, he even said in his own way Sunday, I'd rather you come in here with your problems. Five times in a row with the same problem. You're the one that says, Lord, take this away from me. Let it keep repeating in your life. This is making it real straight to you. It ain't about keeping a code of rules. It's about somebody that wants to serve God that keeps coming back to church saying, I need the word despite myself. That word is who I am. It's my very life. It's what I'm about. Even though I got problems, that ain't going to stop me. I need to eat on some word because that's what gives me my strength, as Brother James just preached. That's how this thing works. That's where my strength comes from. That's what people do to you, though, Brother Deskins. They almost won't let you testify if they see a problem in your life. They won't let you play the guitar. What do you mean you got a role in church? You better let them get rid of that problem. You know, if that's the way God intends, you know, I've thought about that because I've seen that a lot. I've seen that a lot in this message. Pray to let you preach if they think you have a problem. Pray to let you even sing. Let you testify. Lead anything if you got a problem. And you know, I can't claim to have read all 1,100 books, but I've read a decent amount. And I don't see Brother Branham having that attitude. And more importantly, I don't ever seen Jesus have that attitude. That little woman that came wash his feet. You know what? He didn't say, wait a minute. You can't serve me. You don't got a good life. Don't bring what you got to offer me. Don't bring the alabaster back. Don't bring all your earnings and give it to me. You don't live good enough. Jesus didn't do that. He stuck his feet out. Said, give me what you got. Because you Sadducees and Pharisees, the ones that live good, you haven't even greeted me. You haven't taken care of me. You don't care about me. This is just a code of rules to you. But I want somebody that will give me all they got. Somebody that will earn it, even if it's the wrong way, and come in here and serve me with all their heart. That's what God wants. That's how this thing's supposed to work. If it ain't that real, then it ain't going to last. It's like white as sepulchers. You got your tombstone. You know what that means? You go to a graveyard. Some of those tombstones are pretty. Very costly. Look very nice. Look beautiful, actually. But on the inside, underneath the ground, full of dead man's bones. That's all you got. And that's what happens with all you got is this code of rules. Meat and drink. It's full, you're looking good on the outside. But on the inside, full of dead man's bones. But as James preached, as Brother Moore preached, as Brother Childers preached, as Brother Jesus preached, you get a real change in your life. You'll start cleaning yourselves from the inside out. And things will start changing that you didn't think could change. Desires will start changing that you didn't think could change. But the reason why it will happen is because God's dealing with you. God's talking to you. God's changing you. And it'll start happening because you got a relationship with him and you want to serve him out of love, not because you're afraid to go to hell. Oh, this is an enjoyable thing. I'm not enduring. Dwayne had somebody he worked with, he said, I'm not enduring Jesus.
I'm enjoying Jesus. This ain't enduring God. Oh, I got to do this. God's been too good to me. You know, we got to save a little time. I got Job 38 up here. Let me talk about that for a minute. Let's start from the beginning. Job, where were you when the sons and daughters of God shouted for joy? Before you even got here physically, you were in God's mind already shouting for joy. Name transferred before the foundation of the world. We can't be down. We can't be lost. We shouldn't be troubled. We got the greatest thing there is on the face of the earth. Talk about joy in the Holy Ghost. That's all this thing's given me, Brother Moore. You know, oh, but Jeremiah, you're the man. This is so hard. The Bible says I'm the man of the house. And I'm the one that's got to support the house. I got to go to work every day. And I don't want to do it. It's so hard. Where's your love? I ain't going to save my next stop, but where's your love? Just do. You should love this thing. God's been too good. If it ain't like that to you, then check your love. And don't get me wrong. Let me throw this in here just so the devil can't condemn you. We got flesh. We got spirit realm. Devil's going to talk to you. You're going to have feelings. That's still going to be part of it. But let's put that aside for a little bit tonight. I'm talking about a real new birth that's happened in your life. A real change. You're somebody that has something greater in you than that's in the world. You have a real love of God. You have a real connection. If you're born again, that's God's own life in here. You're connected to God. You're one of his attributes. Your very life is God. There's no other life that you have. This is who you are every day of your life. That's how this thing works. Brother Branham, is your life worthy of the gospel? He says a Christian is not a tool or some kind of mechanical wrench to a great big religious regime. That's right. A Christian is not some kind of tool that keeps a religious organization moving. A Christian, that's not a Christian. A Christian is to be Christ-like. And a Christian cannot be a Christian until Christ comes into the man, the life of Christ in him. James said it. He said everything revolves around that new birth. Then it produces the life that Christ lived. And you do the things that Christ did. What am I talking about? Brother Bram says, a personal relationship to Christ. That was paragraph 129. Then he starts talking a little bit. I'm going to jump back in one paragraph 138 for those watching in the video, because it comes back to a stop. And there's only one way you can get into it, and that's by birth. You're born into the church of Jesus Christ and a member of his body of the spiritual delegation of heaven. Then the signs that Christ is in you, lives through you. Christians, oh, you must have a personal relationship to God. In order to be a son of God, you must become relation to God. Amen. He must be your father in order for you to be his son. And only his sons and daughters are saved, not the members of the church, but sons and daughters. And there's only one thing that will produce that, and that's the new birth. Amen. The new birth is the only thing that will produce relationship to God. Amen. That's right, sons and daughters. Amen. Oh, this ain't meat and drink only. Oh, I'll live good because God deals with me and changed my life and I love him. It'll be happening because I've been born again. And I'll start changing from the inside out. And I'll naturally want to do the things he asked me to do. But don't get the cart before the horse and try to clean up my life before you get me changed. You can watch a pig, but you let it see the dirty mud pile over there is going to run right back to it. You got to change the nature in somebody to get it to want to serve God. Amen. But oh, when that happens to you, you'll be changed for the rest of your life. Amen. This is what you'll feed on. This is how you'll live. Yeah. This is where you'll get your answers. This is where you'll get your peace. Amen. This is where you'll get your rest. Yeah. This is where you get your joy. Yeah. It'll be what it's the only thing that'll be able to satisfy that thirst that you got inside of you. Amen. Oh, because if you don't got that,
as I was saying, I think it was last Wednesday, devil's going to come talk to you. He does. And the people, you know who he's got his arrows at the most? The bride of Jesus Christ. But what's so great about it is we have everything we need to overcome him. Oh, we do. That's why we're so positive in here. But if this thing ain't real to you, the devil's going to come visit you. He's going to make something, the pasture's going to be greener on the other side of the fence. And it's just a lie from the devil. He'll make your career be first place. And you'll start thinking about your career. He's going to come talk to you. And just ask any believer in here to serve God a little bit of time. He's going to come at you somehow, some way. He'll say, well, you could have a career and you could go here, you could go here. And I'll give you this kind of money or whatever, give you this kind of house. And your family will be happy and you can do this and this. He'll come talk to you. You serve God long enough, you know what he's going to say. Are you sure God's real?
Right. Yeah.
He's done it to me.
Amen.
I ain't ashamed. I know God's real.
Yeah.
But the devil's coming. He's going to talk to you. He'll try to get you caught up in the world politics. Get that first place in your life. Trying to solve world problems that can't be solved because they don't want God. And the only way it's going to be solved is when God wipes off the face of the earth. That's just the facts, people. But the devil's going to come because it will look good. Can't we all get along? Can't we all be kind? And we believe in kindness in here. But I'm just telling you, the devil's going to paint a picture to you. And it will feel like, notice I said feel, like the easier way. You'll think you're going to get peace in your home. Oh, I won't have to argue with my husband, or I won't have to argue with my wife. That's the devil's coming.
Uh-huh.
I'm just trying to warn you. I ain't don't get wrong. I ain't trying to give him credit. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm just letting you know what he does. When you find his servant God's real, he's going to come with you somewhere else, but he's going to keep coming. And if you ain't got something real on the inside of you, one of them's going to get you. He's going to take you for a walk. And you know, he's even taking some good, real born-again Christians for a walk. Let alone an unbeliever that never had in the first place that was acting like a believer but wasn't a real believer. He'll take a real believer for a walk. You give in to him just a little bit, you give an inch, he'll take a foot. You give a foot, he'll take a mile. You give a mile, he'll take a marathon. He'll do whatever. He'll take whatever you give him and try to turn it. That was hard. You say, what do you mean, Jeremiah? When they cast out demons, they came back stronger the second time. Seven more. The devil gets you one time, it's easier to get down the next time. Before you know, your conscience is seared. You're not even worried about what you're doing. Come on now. You know why I can talk like this? I've been around a little while. I'm the one that's had to fight the devil. I'm the one that's given in to him before. But you need a real relationship. And you know the thing about a real relationship? Talk about the now. You want to give to it. If it's a real relationship, you're not doing it because you have to.
No.
You're doing it because you want to.
Amen.
Matter of fact, that's if I was going to read anything on social media that I like sometimes when people finally mature and say, I ain't going to have friends that ain't real friends. They're wording their own way. I put all this effort in and they don't even like me. They don't even love me. And I know it's a bunch of junk, but I'm thinking, it's about time you realize it. I ain't trying to be best friends with somebody that ain't want to be best friends with me. I ain't trying to hang out with James if he don't like hanging out with me. It'd be a tough situation to be married to Elise if she doesn't at least like some things about me. Now, we're human. We all are going to have a little bit of differences. But I'm saying if Elise didn't like me, want to be around me, want to be married to me, something wouldn't work. In a real relationship, you actually want to do it. And that's how this thing's got to work in your life.
Yeah.
You got to have a want to.
Yeah.
You got to have a desire.
Yeah.
And it ain't necessarily a feeling. It's from the inside of the inside.
Yeah.
It's a soul change, a real desire that will drive you to wherever the word is.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Yeah.
And don't let the devil fool you.
Oh,
you need to arm yourself up and stay in communication with God, just like Brother James said, constant communication with God. That's where your strength comes from. That's where your help comes from. That's where your joy comes from. That's where your overcoming comes from, is that constant fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. You say, how do I do that, Jeremiah? You come to church and you let the preacher preach to you, because faith cometh by hearing. And it is impossible to please God without faith. But you start getting a little bit of faith, you know what? You please God. And you start having a relationship. And then you'll start hearing some more, and you'll grow stronger in your faith. And your relationship with God will grow stronger. And then when the devil comes, at 16, the first time when he asked the God's real, I went through a little battle. When he comes to me now, is God real? I just flip him off. Like, what are you talking about? And you know how I'm there? Because I've been eating some good word. I've been in constant communion with God. Constant communication. He's talking to me. I'm talking to him. He's real. Oh, this world's too majestic for him not to be real. You can't tell me an explosion created this. That's nonsense. That's a lie from the devil. It took God himself to create this thing. Science ain't that smart. No, all they've been able to do is take what God created and put 1 + 1 together. But God didn't even do 1 + 1. He just said, let it be. And it was. And God was smart. He knew how to do things to confuse the devil, to lock him up, to make it where he couldn't figure him out. They still haven't found that missing link that they're looking for. And they never will, because God got rid of it. God created this place, and that's who we got a relationship. And you got to have a personal relationship with him and stay in constant communication, or this thing won't work. If you want to know about him, how are you going to do it? You're going to hear his word. You know why you read your Bible and pray? Read your Bible, what do you read? The Word. And that connects. You got to have a preacher. I'm not saying you're getting this at home, but when you get some good preaching, you can go home and read your Bible. It says, that makes sense. And then you'll read a scripture that Brother Moore didn't even preach Sunday. That ties into what he said Sunday. And then it gets magnified for you. And it strengthens that relationship with God. And then you can talk to God. I'm talking to God right now. We know we can talk to him face to face. But you know what you do when you pray? You just talk to God. Lord, thank you for everything you've done for me. You've been so good to me. You've given me so many blessings, and I've been undeserving. And sometimes I do things I wish I didn't do, but you still never failed to take care of me. I thank you for that, good Heavenly Father. And I've got a few things I want to ask you for. That's how you talk to him a little bit. That's how you get. How do you grow more in love with God? Brother Ram said, get closer to God. Read your Bible and pray. Get to church, hear the preaching, get stronger. Take that word home, apply it in your house, read your Bible, pray, create the right atmosphere, and God will deal with you every day of your life. Amen. Even when you're by yourself in your car, he'll talk to you. How does that happen? It starts with a new birth, but that's just a start. And then you come and you feed that soul, service after service after service. And then you go home and you meditate on it, you think about it, and you apply it to your life. And when you start applying it to your life, you'll realize how good God has been to you. You'll see him get you through some things. Amen. You know what? In a natural relationship, but I'm always saying, when you first get married, you lost each other a little bit. You have the beginning of love. But wait till you go through some things. Wait till you have a kid together. Wait till the light bill's due and it's hard to meet it. And you figure out a way to do it, or figure out a way to survive. Wait till a kid gets sick and it takes faith together. Because you're worried about their well-being. Amen. On and on and on. You go through something together. You watch your wife have that baby. And that builds love. And it just starts building and it gets stronger the more you go through things together. And that's no different than right here. The more you come hear this word, the more relationship you're going to get. And the more you serve God and you watch him bring you through trial after trial, test after test, situation after situation, and give you answer after answer after answer. Before you know it, you're sitting here saying, where else could I go but to the Lord? That's how this thing's got to work. It's how it does work. That's the only thing that keeps you around here for 30 plus years. It's a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You question yourself, do I want to serve God? Do I have a relationship with God? The only way you're going to get that thing is get to the house and let God talk to you and deal with you and preach to you and show you his loving kindness. It's all his loving kindness. Because you say, well, if he rebukes me, what's the Bible say? Those who he loves. He rebukes and he chastens. It's all out of love of God. He loves you.
to where he's given you his word, he's given you his mind, he's given you everything you need to walk this life. Amen. And to get out of here. Oh, it's got to be more than meat and drink. Oh, I live good. Oh, I dress right. Oh, I do that. That only lasts so long. But you need something real. The dynamics and the mechanics united together. Eat and drink for the journey, as Brother Children would have preached. Don't just kill me with letter. That's all you got to kill you. Paul said that. Give me a little spirit. Give me a little moisture. Let me water it down so I can swallow it. That's what it takes. But oh my, when that happens, there's nothing like it. It'll become like fire shut up in your bones. Oh, that's why the devil, he'll try to trick you and try to tie these pillows. He did that to me before. Well, I've been young. Brother Moore knows this very well. Well, you didn't shout as much as Brother Moore did. You don't get as enthused as much as Brother Deskins does. Oh, that's another talk I've had with the devil. Oh, you didn't stand up and amen like Sister Moore does. You're a quiet amen. That's no more the evidence than how good you live is. Let me get that straightened for you. Don't let the devil lie to you. We're all unique personal relationship people with God, and we have different ways of manifesting our amens, different ways of raising our hand. But what it is an individual personal relationship. But what I'm here to tell you, it will change you. In some way, somehow, you'll be different, and you'll manifest your way that you're supposed to manifest to God. It'll happen automatically. And the reason why I can say that is if you've been born again, it will have to happen automatically. Get a new birth. Don't connect it to a feeling. Don't connect it to some natural happiness that you're looking for. Connect it to a new birth. And you get a new birth, you just wait around long enough. Because I'm going to hear tell you, Brother Deskins, when I was the one question why I wasn't excited enough and I was too quiet, look at me now. I'm the one jumping around now. I'm the one saying amen now. I'm the one that says get out of my way now. Hold my mule. Song leader, can you hurry up and get done? You stay around long enough, this thing will happen. It'll start bubbling up into you, and you won't be able to help. You'll even start to feel that joy that you're worried about feeling. But don't make it an evidence. But you wait around long enough, it'll go from no feeling, you'll start feeling it. You say, where you get that from, Brother Jeremiah? Brother Bram said, wine types the whole stimulation in the Bible. He said, the oil's the spirit, and the wine's the stimulation. He says, you get that spirit. He said, pour some wine. He said, stimulation by revelation will happen automatically. Oh, just stay around long enough, hear enough preaching, let the word get quickened to you, and you'll be the one before you know it up here preaching to me. You'll be the one up here singing to me. You'll be the one up here raising your hand, jumping around, shouting to me. Just stick around long enough. This thing will take you over. It'll take over your very life. That's what happened to David. Oh, give me a little bit more time. Still a little early. But David, no matter how many troubles he had, that's what I love about David. You want to sometimes read about why Brother Destins is so sure the devil ain't going to beat him? Go read David in the book of Psalms. David was the same way. He had trouble and he'd say, though hosts should encamp against me, in this will I be confident. God has set me up on a rock. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He was positive. He knew God was going to take care of him, despite his problems. And one day the ark wasn't in Jerusalem where it's supposed to be in Israel. And David's like, I got to get that thing home. And you know, interesting, when he first tried to get it home, it didn't happen the right way. Uzziah touched that thing. He wasn't supposed to touch it. And God smote him. David was wondering about that. It made David kind of upset at God. But lo and behold, where that ark went, it blessed the people. And David said, I got to go get that thing. And he did it right. And when that thing comes, it's in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, they start dancing. They start worshiping. They played music. And the story goes to say, as bad as this sounds, David got so excited, he started ripping off his clothes and just serving God, having a good old time. Why? Because he couldn't help that word, that ark, that blessing stimulated him. So this is the best thing that ever happened to me. And you read the story of his wife at the time, Michelle. Said, David, you embarrassed yourself. You acted and got naked just like the common folk out here. And I'm paraphrasing, but it made me excited when I reread the story this week. David said, if I got naked, I got naked before the Lord. If I look silly, I look silly before the Lord. Yeah. This wasn't to the world anyhow. Yeah. This dancing that looks crazy wasn't even for the world. I don't care what they think. This is for God. Amen. And you know what he said? He was like us. He said, how could I not get excited? Yeah. God chose me to be king over your own daddy, because Saul was Michelle's dad. He says, I got to thank him. I got to praise him. He's been good to me. Well, bring that up here today. God chose you over the millions of people in the world. You're one in a million. You're right where the ark is. If anybody ought to have joy, if anybody ought to be stimulated, if anybody ought to be able to get out of the way, if anybody ought to be able to act crazy, if anybody ought to be able to praise him, if anybody ought to have peace, if anybody ought to not worry what anybody thinks, it should be the bride of the living Jesus Christ. We know who we are. We know where we come from. We know that God has chose us to be the king and queen. Oh, you stick around long enough, that's what'll happen to you. Now, don't let the devil condemn you until it does. You say, I'm a believer. Every time that word comes across, I understand some of it don't, but all I know is this right. I'm a believer. That's still the evidence. Jumping up and down is not the evidence. Getting enthused is not the evidence. Dressing right is not the evidence. Getting the evidence is being able to amen every word of God as it comes across. You know what will happen? You do that. Just hang out a little bit, and things will start happening. Things will come. You stay married long enough, don't worry about it. Things will happen. It'll start naturally coming. The daily walk, the daily relationship, it'll grow automatically. What you don't realize as a Christian sometimes when you first start, you don't realize your relationship is growing every service after service. You don't even see it initially. You know when you plant a seed in the ground and you water it, that life starts happening, Brother Mark. It starts, but you don't see it out of the ground for a little while. It takes a little bit of time. It takes some rain and sun. It takes a little bit of both. And sure enough time, you start seeing two little blades. You won't even see the full flower initially. It'll almost look like a weed. But you give that thing long enough, it'll keep going stronger and stronger. Before you know it, here's a flower blooming. Well, that's how it works in here. You sometimes will get started. You're saying, well, am I really changing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And you're amen in the word, service after service. And God strengthen you. And then before you know it, I've watched it time after time. Watching my own life. Somebody ain't ever got up and testified. Walks up here. Sits down. And says, I got something to say. I just thank God for everything he's done for me. I'm glad I go to church here. Those two blades started coming out. Oh, that gets me excited. You just hang around God long enough, let him water you, let him deal with you. Your relationship will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's how this thing's supposed to work. Any other way, it won't work. It won't work any other way. Now, let's turn to Psalms, the 42nd chapter. Some of these things I'm just going to read and keep moving for us. Psalms 42. I'm going to pull the James trick. Just read them and let it go. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What David was saying is, I desire God. That's what I thirst for. That's what I need. That's what I crave. That's what has helped me. That's what's given me joy. That's what's given me peace. That's restored the joy of my salvation. It's God himself. And it's like a water-given life flow to me. And that's what Jesus told the woman at the well. You take of me and you'll never thirst again. That's real relationship right there. That's what David had. He was a man after God's own heart. I thought about that woman after a well, when that real understanding happened to her, she dropped everything she was doing, said, come see a man that told me all things. It put her in the action automatically, not because it was a code of rules, not because you had to. There was something in her that just responded to God and automatically said,
come see a man. This is he's here, everybody. Amen. The one we've been looking for. She got excited. I read that blind man in St. John 9 this week, and he got healed on the Sabbath. And really, the story started like, who sinned that this man's blind? And Jesus said, you guys always go carnal. Always go to meat and drink. Always go to the code of rules. Who sinned? And don't even know God blinded this man, so you're getting ready to see God's glory. And God, Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, which in that day broke the law, because you weren't supposed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath day. And here come the meat and drink people, Brother Moore. How could this man be a God? He healed you on the Sabbath. He had all kinds of rules. And all the blind man knew, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. But that's not even the point I got out this week. You read on down, his parents were afraid to answer for him. Because they were afraid to get kicked out of synagogue. It wasn't a good time to identify with Christ. It wasn't a good time to say he's the one that did it. So when they asked everybody else, they were like, I don't know. Ask him, he's of age. But here comes the boy that got healed. The one that had the real change. The one that had a relationship start. They asked him, he wasn't ashamed, Brother Moore. He said, it was Christ. The one you're talking about. He healed me. He opened my eyes. He told me to take a little ice out and put it on and go wash. And all of a sudden I see. I ain't ashamed. All I know is I was blind and now I see. But he did this, he did this. He may have done all those things. But I'm here to tell you, I was blind, and now I see. Who else could have done this but God? Amen. He has so changed, Brother Moore, it just changed to the point he said, I ain't afraid of none of you. Do what you want to me. I found my relationship. And later, Jesus came back to him after they heard that they didn't like him. And he said, do you believe? And he said, I don't even know what to believe in, basically. He said, Jesus started talking to him. But when that thing, that new birth happens, you'll pant after this thing. It's your very life-giving flow. Every day of your life. Psalm 122. I've always loved this scripture. I don't know why it's always stuck out to me, but it always has. Because I think I identify with it. David says, Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David knew where he's going to get his help. He knew where he's going to get his strength. He knew what his life-giving resource was. It was God himself. He says, I need to get to where the Lord is. I need to get to the temple of God and let God talk to me, let God deal with me. And, you know, David here's not saying it was work. Oh, I got to go to church on Sunday. I got to be there 30 minutes early now because Brother Moore's been talking about that. And if I don't get there 30 minutes early, people are going to talk about me. Just a code of rules. If you don't want to get here 30 minutes early and it's not in your heart, don't get here 30 minutes early. It ain't helping you because all you're going to do is get here 30 minutes early and sit down with the attitude. And the whole purpose of getting here 30 minutes is so you can get the attitude off of you. And you're going to get here 30 minutes early with an attitude. And it's going to have the opposite effect on you. You get here 30 minutes early because you want to get here 30 minutes early. If you don't want to get here 30 minutes early, don't make yourself mad. Get here 5 minutes early. Go ahead and get here 30 minutes late. If that's what's in your heart. Get here 30 minutes late. If that's what's in your heart. But I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us get into the house of the Lord. See, this thing is joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. It ain't just meat and drink and a code of rules to me and some mechanical thing. This has been a real relationship in my life. This is my being. This is my life. This is my everything. It's the thing that has made me who I am. I can't live without it. So many people doubt him. But I can't live without him. He's real. He's real. God's so real to me. So many people doubt him. But I can't live without him. God's so real to me. Oh, I like that song too. That's a good one. Oh, next time the devil tells you if God's real, just start singing that song. Oh, God's real. He's real. God's so real to me. Oh, yes. God's so real to me. Just sing that for a little while. Put the devil on the run. So many people doubt him. But I can't live without him. 'Tis why I love him so. He's so real to me. Oh, that gets me excited. I can keep singing that for a little while because I know what it means to me. This ain't somebody that's been doing this for a year. This is somebody been doing this for a little while. And I know what God's brought me through. He's got me through the bear. He's got me through the lion. He's got me through Goliath. He's got me through Saul. He's got me through all the enemies trying to kill me. He's protected me. He's given me every answer. He's brought me peace. He's given me everything I need. Oh, he's so real to me. That's what really hit me Sunday. A lot of things hit me, but I'm more started off. People make this message just like almost hard. It's so hard to serve God. And every once in a while, it is going to be bitter in the belly. And every once in a while, your flesh and spirit realm is going to talk. That's going to happen. Like I said, just stay around long enough. And you'll be saying, got to get back. He's real to me. That's how this thing works. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And what I like about it, it's a personal relationship. Oh, you don't need to be like Brother Moore. You don't need to be like Brother Jeremiah. You don't need to be like Brother Dwayne. You need to be yourself. It's you serving God. It's your walk with God. It's your relationship with God. That's what Paul said in Romans 14. Every man must give account for himself to God. Blessed is the man, not men. Blessed is the man who won't condemn himself in the things which he allows. Amen. This is an individual relationship with Christ. Amen. Just enjoy this thing. Yes, enjoy life. Enjoy serving God. Let him change your desire. Yeah. And then do those things. And if he hasn't changed it and he allows something like he did in Paul's life, allow that to happen too. But don't let the devil get you down and make this thing just a code of rules. Amen. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And your walk and level will be different than my walk and level. And I don't mean levels like somebody's better than each other. I'm just talking about how the devil talked to you. Oh, I don't know as many scriptures as Brother John, or I don't know like Brother Deskin. Of course you won't. You ain't been here 40 years. I mean, we grow faster today than we have, don't get me wrong, but you still ain't going to know everything in 1 year that somebody's been here 40 years knows. I'm just here to tell you, not like that. You ain't catching. That's why Brother has said, I have forgot more than you know. And it's just, that's me to help you. Rest where you are. Amen. Enjoy where you are. Yeah. Don't trade your shoes for nobody, as Brother Moore's taught us. Enjoy every stage of life you're in the natural. Yeah. Enjoy being single. Enjoy being a kid. Enjoy having kids. Enjoy being married. Enjoy not having kids at home. Enjoy being a grandparent. Enjoy what? Every stage of life. Stage. Well, how about in here? Enjoy every stage of your walk. Yeah. My, when I can think back to you and say, man, when I didn't preach, and I wasn't worried about having all the doctrine right, and I'm in a good place. I enjoyed my calling, but I enjoyed it when I wasn't doing that. I enjoyed just being able to come here and let somebody preach to me only, and just say, this thing's so wonderful. I can get up and just sing or get up and testify. I love serving God. I enjoyed that phase. Then I started preaching. You know what? Getting out of the way. I always say that's the key. You got to get out of the way for it to work. But you get up here and you get out of the way, Brother Dustin. You're in the state I'm in right now. You enjoy it. Yeah. You enjoy the phase you're in. Amen. Brother Schultz always say, I enjoy my calling. I enjoy my calling too. Right. But enjoy this walk. Amen. Enjoy it from the time you get your first revelation to the time you get thousands of pieces of information. Amen. All the way to the body chain. Enjoy this thing. I got two more scriptures and I'll get down. But I want to read them to you because I think they'll help you. 1 Timothy. I'll be quick with them. This is another good nugget. See, James and I had a lot of the same thoughts, to be honest with you. When we started talking about joy, in some ways, it's not even something you study, truthfully. It's just something that's part of you. It's like an everyday walk for a Christian. And you went through things, and you just know you got it, you know, kind of. And that's why I'm thinking, let me just give you some nuggets, too, right? Like, this is what's worked. This is how it works. This is how you get to joy. That's what Brother Moore did Sunday. He's been telling you, get to church. Get your family to church. Just think you'll get stronger. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. When I read this, you all will say, oh yeah, I remember that. We used to say this a lot around here, actually. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be therewith content. In other words, be happy in every state you're in every stage you're in. God supplied all your needs. He's answered all your questions. Psalms 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows your thoughts from afar off. You're bad in hell, you're bad in heaven. He's there. You can't depart from his presence. He's got you. He's been with you the whole way. He's ordained your steps. He's foreknown you. He's predestinated you. He's called you. He's justified you. He's glorified you. All things work together for your good. Whether you're 1 year old, 30 years old, it's all eternity as far as God is concerned, but just enjoy it. God is taking care of you. Be content. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Be happy right where you are. Say, God's got me right where I'm supposed to be. And then come in here and say, now, Lord, I'm coming to get the next step. Don't stop. You'll die in your tracks. But let him give you the next step. God got me right where I'm supposed to be. It's like that 1%, just another step. Another step. Another step. And before you know it, you're looking back and saying, my goodness, look where he's brought me from to where I am today. Enjoy this walk. Just trying to stay the theme. Know a little bit, enjoy the little bit you know. Get some more, enjoy the more you got. You know, in my own natural life, that's how it's been. When we had one kid, we enjoyed one kid. When we got two, we enjoyed two. We got three, it made it three times better. But I enjoyed it every single step. When I stood the change of soul, I loved it. One kind of spirit, loved it. Three rims, loved it. Loved ones, loved it. Grace, loved it. Rapture, loved it. On and on and on. Everything God's made a clear understanding of me. I've been content with every bit of it. I don't need any more than I have already. He's given me just what I need. If I needed more, he'll give it. And next service, if we are still here, he'll give it there. All the way until I get to the rapture. Then when I get on that side, it won't be so much I need anything, but I'll keep learning over there too. He'll keep giving and giving and giving. In my last verse, St. John, the 5th chapter. Weep not, John. We have nothing to be sad about, people. The book's been open. We've seen our name. We see we're part of God. We see we come from God. We know we're going back to God. To the point where Paul said, if I only had hope in this life, I'd be men and most miserable. You know, I like that because Paul hadn't even had hope in this life. He basically said, I enjoyed this life too. But what's so great about this ain't my stopping point. I got a life to come. That's where thy sting grazed, where thy victory. Oh, we got so much to be thankful for. Our name's in the book. We've been redeemed. Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride's made herself ready. Our name's already in there. We're part of that body. It's standing on its feet. We can't be lost. We're going to a rapture. Don't need to weep anymore, Brother Moore. Don't need to worry anymore. Don't need to wonder if you're good enough. The book's been opened. You see your name. Oh, we're a group of people that ought to be able to praise the Lord, Brother Jay. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Real relationship with God, not just meat and drink. Brother Bram said in the token, God is your joy, God is your strength. Knowing the message, knowing the truth, that's our sufficiency now. He is my all sufficiency. In him, all things I have need of is in him. That's my strength. My help comes from the Lord. You Christians, look to him for your joy. Look to him for your strength. Look to him for your happiness. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my love. He is my life. That's what he is. He's my everything. That song, God is my everything. Come on, Pastor Moore. God bless you all. Thanks for bearing with me. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you, brothers. You know, I know after a while, we move so fast around here that if I don't give them a chance, they'll feel slighted like they didn't get a chance to hit the devil on a subject. So periodically I have to give them up. Now, I was supposed they were wanting to have someone else come tonight. And I told him, I said, no, not this week. I said, this is homeboys week. I said, I got to give some room for them because, you know, they got to exercise the gift that they have. And so I appreciate them. They decided to share tonight. And I appreciate both messages because they were both the same message, actually. They really were the same. You know, it's more than just meat and drink and laws and thou shalt not. But there should be a love there, a real love for God, a real love for the truth. And if that love's not there, there's nothing anybody, I can't give you that love. You know, when somebody looks at me and says, I don't want to be there anymore. I have nothing to say because this is my life. This is all I have. And I've given you the best thing that I've ever received. And if that is not good enough for you, I have nothing else to give. I can't sacrifice my relationship with God for you. I'm sorry about your luck, but I have been doing this a long time. And God and I have been walking and talking together for a long time. And I try to share with you everything that God gives me to give to you. And if that isn't enough to get him talking to you personally, then I can't do anything about that. It's a personal, I always like that because we get in the message and we get so much in the message that we forget it's a personal relationship. As our brother Lockett always hollering, you must be born again. He's saying you got to have a personal relationship. It's, you never get to a point where you get so educated in the Bible, in the message, in anything, that you don't turn around and make it a personal relationship because that's what it is. And it's a walk with you and God. And if God doesn't turn you on, I don't know what to tell you. I know what he does for me. When I hear the word comes forth, it does something to me. And it's like I never heard it before. I mean, they were turning me on tonight like I never heard them preach before. And it's like, you know, but that's that personal relationship. You know, like the two people who went to Brother Branham's meeting, and when they both walked out of the tent meeting, one said, "Why, he called me a buzzard." And the other said, "Well, that's funny because he called me an eagle." Same message, two different results. One message will draw you, and the same message can also drive you. The same water that saved Noah destroyed the world. The same fire that burned out your old nature and saved you is the same fire that's going to destroy the whole world. So it's a personal thing. And it's between you and God. But if you don't fan that fire, it will go out. I don't care how big a blaze it is. It could be a forest fire. But if you don't keep it fed, it will go out. I've seen some of the most dedicated, spiritual, God-talking-to-me people fizzle out. And that's all. And you know, and I don't care how long the fire's been burning. As long as you feed it, it will continue to burn. I mean, it will burn 24/7 as long as you keep feeding it. It's the same way with your Holy Ghost. As long as you're feeding it, it'll grow. And the more you feed it, the bigger the flame will get. You'll get to a point that everybody around you will be like, oh, man. You know, when Moses came off of the mountain, they had to put a veil over him. He had been up there with Jesus. He had been up there with God, getting those commandments. And same with us. What we have is so bright now that it's blinding some and giving light to others. Come on, musicians. We're going to close now. This Sunday, and we haven't really been announcing it, but this Sunday afternoon is when Brother Bill's memorial service is in Troy. A lot of you don't know him, so I wouldn't expect that you would go to the memorial service. But those who want to go, the service is, I think, at 2 o'clock. And there's nothing back there. Is there anything about this at all? Send it out in a reminder for those who would like to go. And so they'll have the address. So, but then I was going to cancel Sunday night, but next Sunday is when we go away to Bluffton. So we're going to cancel next Sunday night service, since we will be getting back from there in the afternoon later. I'm not sure what time we'll get back, so we won't have service next Sunday. So I'm going to keep our Bible study on for this Sunday, and hopefully we'll get back in time. I don't know what type of service or how long, but we'll leave it on for this coming Sunday evening. It's going to be a long day, but I don't want to skip too many Bible studies between, since we're going to be gone next week. No music practice tomorrow? Okay. Yeah. Sure. We want a prayer cloth for Dawn's friend. People don't know who they're talking with when they talk to us sometime, and they think they're just talking to someone, but they're actually talking to God. And when we send these prayer cloths, it's going forth with the prayers of the saints. And the saints are housing God. So it's no wonder it actually works. And so Dawn, come and let's pray for this. And if you have a friend who has asked for this, then that means you've seen enough God in you that she says, I want the God that you serve. Pray for me. So let's pray. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening so grateful for the word that went forth this evening. Lord, that word has shown us how that you can take your word and you can move through your people and you'll answer our prayers. And Lord, as we bring this cloth here before us this evening, this body is praying over this cloth as according to the Bible and according to the word of God. We send this prayer to this person, Lord, who had faith enough to ask for it. And Father, we ask you to just send your word forward and let it do that that is ordained to do, so that we can come back with a report that another person has been touched by the prayers of the saints. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Dawn. Amen. He's real. Let's sing that. I don't know what page then. Sure. I don't, the page is missing, but I think it's in there somewhere. It goes from page 6 to 13. Well, I know a woman one time who had a tumor the size of a grapefruit. And just before they operated, God took it away. So, is anything too hard for God? He's the one that make us. He's the one that's made her the first time. And he's the only one that can heal. I think someone said Sunday, God's the only healer. It's not man, it's God. So we're going to just believe for her and ask God to touch her. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening with this other request. And Lord, there's someone here who has a lump of problem. Satan's attacking the house. And Father, we know that you said by your stripes we're healed.
Yes.
And Father, we ask you to send forth your word with this cloth and let the faith rise up in that person that they can, Lord, be healed by your word and know that, Lord Jesus, you are real. Lord, I'm sure they've heard about you. Just like they heard about the children of Israel, they knew that God was with them. And Lord Jesus, as they look at us, they know that God is with us. Yes. And Father, we ask you to send forth your word and this token that goes before, that she can place this on her, Lord, and
yes,
and Satan would have to go. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 He's real. You got the money. So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Come back Sunday morning expecting. He's real. He's real. Oh, he's so real to me. Oh.
Oh, he's so real to me. You're so real.